Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Big Al was chatting with his good friend Jeff Deist. Jeff is in Washington, D.C. right now. Jeff, as you're all aware, aside from being a successful attorney on his own right, in his own right, is also runs the show for Congressman Ron Paul in the sense that he is Congressman Paul's chief of staff. Jeff, what I want to chat about is something that came across. I actually watched this on C-SPAN on Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning came across my desk. The congressman has introduced some legislation designed to stop abusive TSA practices, as he says, quote, that treat American air travelers like suspects. Enough is enough, Congressman Paul declared in a speech before the House of Representatives earlier tonight. We are supposed to sacrifice our liberty. I say that is wrong. Big Al says that, too. The point here isn't just this TSA deal, Jeff, in my mind. The point here is really we're losing all of our freedoms, man, and I don't like that. What's your opinion?
Well, when we're talking about liberty here, we're actually talking about our physical, intimate, personal liberty that's, at least in our view, is being violated at the airports. But you got to step back from a minute, Al, and say, you know, what's going on here? How does the Fourth Amendment apply? And, well, you know, whether you agree or not, over many, many decades, Supreme Court has basically said, well, the unreasonable search and seizure means that there's got to be some sort of reasonable suspicion on the part of law enforcement that a crime is being committed or has been. So that's already been watered down at the border. The Supreme Court's already said, well, when you're trying to enter the U.S., they can simply search you or ask you whatever without any reasonable suspicion because it's a border. But now we're talking about wholly interior parts of the country, domestic airports, and without any Supreme Court jurisprudence, the TSA, which has been around less than 10 years, is saying that its agents can search you with no suspicion, no cause, no reason other than that's just their procedures. And that's unprecedented, and I think that's going to be litigated in the very near future. But more importantly, we've got this new process. We've got these screeners. It's not good enough for the authorities to simply tell us they're safe. You know, that's not good enough. We need a little bit more verification than that in terms of the radiation and all that. And in terms of the privacy aspects, you know, the images they show, you know, the American people are fed up with it. And, you know, we certainly think that this is security theater rather than security, and that it's mostly just a big jobs program for TSA and for the people selling the screeners. And I think the big fight in Washington is going to be whether unionized folks at the airport who support Democrats are in charge of this process, or whether contractor types who support Republicans are in charge of this process at airports.
A couple of comments. The first comment really comes in the form of a question to you, Jeff. But Congressman Paul mentioned that, you know, the fact that the government claims that when Jeff Deist, Paula Deist, Al Cortland, you know, Kathy Cortland, whatever, when we buy an airplane ticket, we give up, by virtue of purchasing that ticket, we give up our freedom vis-a-vis the security that they want to implement, the security systems that they want to implement. Hey, man, I thought we lived in the United States of America. I thought we had freedom.
Well, that's absolute nonsense. I mean, really, you're entering into a – when you purchase a ticket, that's a contract between you and the private air carrier.
Right.
Who, by the way, ought to be responsible for the safety and security of their tremendous investments in their planes and obviously in their passengers and their pilots and their crews. But I think that's a preposterous argument, and I don't think that's going to fly with the American public. You know, it's always been a hallmark of authoritarian societies to monitor internal travel.
Yeah.
You know, an internal passport is sort of the archetype of the former Soviet Union's, you know, a symbol of the former Soviet Union's tyranny.
Yeah.
And I think that we're slowly starting to wake up to what TSA is trying to do here.
You know, something else that the congressman brought out that I think is really interesting is the guy who's selling this equipment right now to the government is the former head of the TSA. Isn't that interesting?
Former head of Homeland Security, Michael
Chertoff. I'm sorry,
The first head of Homeland Security under the Bush administration. And let's be fair, a lot of both Republicans and Democrats in Congress back in 2001 voted to create a Department of Homeland Security, which is supposed to be the U.S. Armed Forces. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to have a Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
But our armed forces are occupied elsewhere. And then B, a lot of those members also voted to create this TSA organization. And a lot of them now are saying, gee whiz, we never intended for it to become this big, bullying, unaccountable.
Yeah.
Well, you know, come on, how many times have we seen that with agencies and departments? So the people who voted for this stuff really should not be crying about it today. It's so that, you know, people like Congressman Paul who have steadfastly been against these intrusions for a long time.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. I have felt for a long time, you know, I travel a lot, as you know, and we fly a lot, and we travel a lot cross-border into Canada because we live so close to Vancouver, B.C., and it's such a great city. But I don't mind a certain amount of security. Okay, that doesn't bother me, a certain amount of security. You know, I don't mind, for example, well, I think a certain amount of security is okay, and I think to, for example, harass, which is a really, really silly thing to do, you know, to harass the immigration people, for example, at the border is just absolutely asinine. But, you know, it's gone too far, and it's gone too far, in my opinion, for one simple reason, and that one simple reason is the United States today is the people in the United States today are witnessing an incredible erosion of personal freedom. We are getting so far away, Jeff, in my mind, from the Constitution of the United States that it is absolutely amazing. And you know what? I'm getting scared, my friend.
Well, this TSA revolt is a healthy thing, then, if you're worried
sure
about
is.
This sort of thing. I think that it's growing. I think TSA is worried about it, and I think that they're going to start scrambling to try to defuse it somehow. And it's a great way for just average Americans to get involved and say, hey, look, you know, this may be only one small thing, but it's something that perhaps we can control if we make enough noise and just start opting out of the scanners and participating in the opt-out day, which is coming up before Thanksgiving. Now, these are kinds of things that people can do, and they can actually control to some extent what happens in Washington.
Do me a favor. Explain to our listeners exactly what the opt-out day is all about.
I'm not completely up on it now. I know that there's a Facebook page,
yeah.
And I believe it the date scheduled is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, but I could be wrong. And I think that basically, given the number of physical screeners that would be required and manpower that would be required if significant numbers of people refused the new scanner,
yeah.
It would really sort of shut TSA down for a day. And so, you know, this is just the kind of thing that's been proposed. And, you know, it just shows that the public is out there and they're aware of this stuff and that there still is some libertarian impulse in America. Some, you know, people aren't just going to take this stuff sitting down.
You know what? There's a huge amount of libertarian impulse in America. And I applaud that wholeheartedly. No question about that. So where do you think this is going to go? We've got about a minute left, Jeff.
Well, we'll have to see. I think it's really up to TSA whether they're going to back down. I mean, this kind of desire by people in government to control us is never going to go away. It's always going to pop back up. But maybe, you know, we can win a small battle and a bigger war over the next month or so.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching the History Channel last night briefly and on my way to a football game. No, that's a joke. But I was watching the History Channel last night, you know, and they were doing a documentary on the McCarthy era, et cetera, you know. And my first thought was, gee, you know what? We're kind of heading in that direction only to a much larger extent. Final comment on that. Are we, in your opinion?
Well, we don't know what the future holds, Al, but we'll take it one step at a time. If we can beat TSA, who knows what we could beat.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. All I have to say is I'm really glad that the tide has shifted politically in the country. I'm really glad that that folks like Ron's son, Rand Paul, is back in there. I know you guys are supporting him 100%. Let's hope that groundswell that started in November with the November election continues, and let's hope that the United States stays the sensible country that it has been in the past, the sensible country that made us great, you know, and Let's really let your legislators know that we're tired of losing our freedom, because you know what? You lose your freedom, what else have you got? You got zip. Big Al's going to be right back.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. Wind Blue Power carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all Wind Blue Power kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist, Mr. Mercenary and I did a couple of shows back, one in January and one in March, where we were
talking about the earthquake situation in Haiti. We requested donations. I put a banner on our homepage. I'm not sure what Mick did about that or not, but I know that there was a fair amount of interest in how from listeners into, as to how they could help down there. And Mickey and I are going to revisit this thing here in this segment real quickly because they still have some really, really bad situations going on down there. There's a major, major cholera epidemic going on in the northwest central parts of the country, I should say, and there is a danger that it's going to spread to refugee camps in Port-au-Prince. Mickey called me and said that he was very, very motivated to talk about this because he saw a report on 60 Minutes on Sunday which detailed the spreading cholera epidemic. Former President Bill Clinton was asking for contributions, and the U.N.'s trying to raise $164 million. What really makes it bad down there, as Mickey brought out, is only 40% of the people living down there have potable water. So it's not a good situation. In terms of cholera, Mick knows what he's talking about because when he was in Peru back in 1997, he got cholera. Mickey, how bad is it?
Well, cholera is oftentimes fatal if it's treated.
Yeah.
But it's a very treatable disease. As you pointed out, I had cholera in 1997. I was in an area that was extremely unsanitary with water that was used both for showering and sewage and who knows what. Luckily, by the time I was affected, I was back on the coast in Trujillo. I immediately realized what was going on and sought medical attention and went to a doctor and got a single dose of an antibiotic and was given a liter of a product, electrolyte solution, essentially called Salvadora.
Uh-huh.
And you sip that for 24 hours, and basically I was cured in a couple of days. So, but if it's not treated, it can be fatal, massively fatal. In Haiti right now, 6 of 10 provinces are affected by cholera, and the great worry is because people travel from one area of the country to another, that it is spreading, and it is now has made its appearance in Port-au-Prince. The original impetus or the catalyst for this to happen was Hurricane Tomas, which caused flooding of a big river in west central Haiti. It then spread to the northern parts of the country, an area that I'm familiar with and have visited before called Cap Haitien. Now it is in Port-au-Prince. At last count, a couple of days ago, there have been more than 1,000 deaths. It's not a good situation, basically, because people live in unsanitary conditions.
What strikes me as making the situation even more difficult, Mickey, is the fact that you've got Haiti is not exactly the richest country in the world, okay? And their medical abilities down there, because of their facilities, because of the, you know, financial constraints, et cetera, the medical situation down there in terms of what the government can do for the mass population is really, really minimal. So, you know, when Vice President Clinton came out and, you know, issued the appeal for Americans to pony up, I have to tell you, you know, I didn't agree with a lot of President Clinton's policies, but in this particular case, Big Al agrees 100%, you know, and I'll tell you, that logo is going to go back on our home page because these are some folks who really, really need some help. And it's, you know, it's interesting. The first time I went to Chile, you know, when I met you the first time, 6 or 7 years ago, I remember one of the concerns that my physician had, you know, in terms of inoculations that I got prior to going down there is he said, you're going to be in the jungle. And I said, no. And he said, good, because, you know, you really want to inoculate yourself, or you really want to take precautions, in any country in South America, Central America, whatever, if you're in jungle areas where cholera could be a situation. So it's, it's something that I'm pretty aware of. I've never had the disease, but I got to tell you, the situation down there is really, really bad. How's it? Now, you've got a company down there that you follow, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I do, and that's Eurasian Minerals, and
yeah.
They control, essentially have a monopoly over all the mineral concessions of merit in the northern and western parts of the country, where the Massif du Nord, which is essentially a plate tectonic suture zone, comes from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
The area that they work is affected by cholera right now, more severely than other parts of the country. for the most part. So, but Newmont, their joint venture partner in Eurasian, they have their situation well under control, and I know they are contributing, and I am contributing. I've contributed to Haiti before. I know people down there. They are not in danger of dying from cholera because they have medical attention. Part of the problem in Haiti, there's people are uneducated, and so they have ignorance about the disease. And in cases, there's the fear of treatment, of going to a hospital is greater than the fear of disease. And in addition, the sick are completely ostracized. So you hear anecdotal evidence that a taxi driver won't carry a person that appears to be sick. So, you know, and the other thing is it's still in the rural countryside, there's a voodoo culture. So people are very afraid of the government. They're afraid of going to a doctor or a hospital. They're afraid of the dark at night. I witness this at night in the rural countryside. They will board up their houses and completely shut up the windows like a hurricane is coming. They basically don't venture out at night because they're afraid of spirits. So this religious culture that they have is probably contributes to fear too. So, you know, it's just not a good situation right there. There's a place in my heart for Haiti because I have been there and I will go back there. It has tremendous mineral potential, and that's a hope of the Haiti government, that the mineral potential will eventually lead to some big mines, and certainly the geologic potential is there, and there will be a mining economy there, because basically, Al, there is no economy there in Haiti. It's basically a barter society, and people live by subsistence farming and trading.
Well, I don't know about you, as you're sitting on your ranch down in New Mexico, and I'm sitting up here in my condo on a golf course in northern Washington, but I have to tell you, my friend, you and I are very, very blessed. You know, I want to make one comment about Mr. Mercenary here, you know, and that is the term mercenary oftentimes has some fairly negative connotations. But I'll tell you, Mickey called me when he became aware of the situation down there right now, the current situation in Haiti, and really twisted my arm and said, Corlin, we got to talk about this because people need to be aware that there is a real need for help, you know. And so what I would have to say to all you folks out there is, you know, I'm a real advocate of, you know, those of us who are able, let's help other people. I'm going to ask you to join Kathy and I and the mercenary geologist who really ought to call himself the good guy geologist. Let's kick a few bucks down there. Mick, thank you so much, buddy.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Why almost all politicians, teachers, and preachers are dead wrong about how to keep this country from becoming a total dictatorship.
If that headline got your attention, then you know the only way back.
The only way back to true freedom and liberty in America.
Have you ever wondered about whether your personal and religious liberty will survive?
After all, what good are gold, silver, and survival supplies in a concentration camp?
And have you ever thought about what kind of America you're leaving to your kids and grandkids? Then theonlywayback.com is an open online letter you must read. Find out where true liberty comes from and discover the foundations of freedom by going to theonlywayback.com. If you're a patriot who truly wants to help rebuild this nation, call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Or visit theonlywayback.com and do it today. It's the only way back.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Hey, you know, you got to admit, Mickey Fulp is a very interesting guy, but quite apart from that, you know, in discussing the situation down in Haiti, the cholera epidemic down there, please keep one thing in mind, and that is this thing is already in the beginning stages of spreading to the United States. I read in the news this past week that there were incidents of this showing up in Florida. So, you know, do me a favor and help out as Mickey and I are trying to do. Send a couple of bucks down there if you have the means to do it, and let's get this situation resolved. The Haitians do not, they're not in a position where they can, where they have any kind of money whatsoever. So we need to help, you know, just as a human being. let's do that. Okay, changing the subject. I'm chatting right now with Ian Campbell. Ian is rapidly becoming a regular guest on our program. Ian is a Canadian. He is considered and has been for the past 35 years to be the foremost authority on business valuations in Canada. To that endeavor, he's written numerous books on the subject. He is also a chartered accountant, which all of you, I'm sure, are aware is virtually the same thing as a certified public accountant, CPA, here in the United States. And Ian is the originator of a website that I am very, very enthusiastic about. It's called Stock Research Portal. We have a banner on our website for the Stock Research Portal. I encourage you to check it out. I use it very frequently now. Ian, thanks so much for joining me, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Alan. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's talk about, among other things, the trade deficit, because that's very in the United States, because that is closely related to the severe case of the economic doldrums that we have right now. Ian, do me a favor. For listeners, define the term trade deficit, and what exactly is the current U.S. monthly trade deficit run rate?
Well, Al, the U.S. for many months now, and in fact years, has indeed been running a trade deficit per month, and it's really properly called a net trade deficit because it's the difference between the trade surplus that the U.S. generates, which is comparatively small, from trading in services with its trading partners, and the trade deficit each month that the U.S. currently experiences from trading in manufactured goods, commodities, and other goods with its trading partners. The U.S. during 2010 to date has, depending on the month, run a net trade deficit of between $30 and $45 billion per month. The trade deficit in August, for example, was just fractionally more than that at $46 billion and dropped to $44 billion in the month of September.
You know, I'm very aware of the significance of that particular amount, $1 trillion. But give me your perspective. I mean, it's huge.
Well, a trillion is an enormous number. To put it in a couple of contexts, the circumference of the Earth is approximately 25,000 miles. If you traveled 1 trillion miles and circumvented the globe, you would have gone around the Earth 40 million times. And as of about 24 months ago, with U.S. house prices as they were then, $1 trillion would have bought you about 5% of all the existing single-family dwellings in the United States.
So it's a big number. All right. When did the United States first begin to experience monthly trade deficits? I mean, this is a trend that has to turn around, but when did it start?
Well, it essentially started, from my analysis, in 1973, which coincidentally was shortly after President Nixon took the U.S., I'll say, off the gold standard, although that's a rather broad way of saying it. At the end of 1973, for all intents and purposes, the U.S. had neither a cumulative net trade surplus nor a cumulative net trade deficit, cumulative obviously meaning the aggregation of all the period up until that point.
Yeah. Well, as you said, we began to experiencing reoccurring deficits, net trade deficits down here after 1973. And, you know, there are I've been doing more and more and more research and thinking and having conversations about the negative aspects of fiat currencies, Ian, you know, of late. I mean, I have been aware, obviously, because I've been talking about fiat currencies and their fallacies on this program for quite some time now. But, you know, there is a direct correlation in my mind between the U.S. going off the gold standard and getting these huge trade deficits. Do me a favor, briefly explain for our listeners what is meant by a fiat currency world, okay? And then the question, what has the buildup of these net trade deficits? What's it actually been?
Well, two questions, obviously.
Obviously.
First, a fiat currency world is a world where the various countries operate on a fiat currency, and a fiat currency is essentially, in the most simplistic terms, a currency that isn't really backed by anything of real value.
Mm-hmm.
As to the cumulative net trade deficit buildup, it actually started out as something you probably wouldn't pay a lot of attention to. In the first 6 years after 1973 through 1979, at the end of 79, the cumulative net trade deficit in the U.S. was, I'll say, only about $80 billion. 10 years later, by the end of 89, it still wasn't anything that would be very attention-seeking in all probability. By then, it was a cumulative net trade deficit of $920 billion. Now, in the next 10 years, the end of 99, it doubled. It got to just under $2 trillion by the end of 99, but then it gets to me, for me at least, extremely interesting. In the last 10 years, that $2 trillion cumulative net trade deficit that existed at the end of 1999 has multiplied itself by four. And the U.S. current cumulative trade deficit is just short of $8 trillion and has consistently run monthly net trade deficits without exception, without a surplus now for several decades,
mm-hmm. let's say. Okay, and coincident with that, you know, as you brought out when we were chatting off the air, we've had a huge, huge loss in U.S. manufacturing jobs, okay? And by the same token, oil prices have escalated significantly during that time, after 1999, I guess I should say.
Well, the oil prices are actually a major part of the reason, as is my view, at least, the loss of manufacturing jobs. But the oil prices are a major part of why the net trade deficits are so high, or have been so high in the last 10 years. The long and the short of it is that I don't see any end in sight to a continuing accumulation of net trade deficits for the U.S.
Now, in your mind, what's the result of that going to be? I mean, it obviously can't be good.
Well, I don't believe it can be good. I look at it this way. I see the cumulative net trade deficit amount as an absolute barometer, for me at least, in terms of what has gone on and what is likely to go on in terms of the U.S. and its place in the economic world. I think first that the net trade deficits go a long way to explaining in a simple way the massive buildups of U.S. treasuries and other debt obligations of the U.S. that are held by the U.S.'s trading partners, notably China. Secondly, the U.S. cumulative trade deficits highlight to me the fundamental economic changes that have taken place in the world over the past 10 years, in particular, that obviously had their foundation in the 1980s and 90s. And then third, it explains to me why I believe, and this is my statement of my belief, that the U.S. is with each passing month losing economic ground on the world stage, and I see that continuing, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that really is sad, and it really is happening. And I'll tell you, I just hope and pray that that's going to turn around. Okay, you guys, on a final note, Stock Research Portal, as I said, is a really worthwhile site. I'm very intrigued with it because of its simplicity on the one hand, but all-encompassing nature of it on the other hand. If you want to receive missives similar to what Ian and I talked about today, on a daily basis, you can do that simply by clicking on the banner on our website. We'll get the information to Ian and the folks at Stock Research Portal, and you're in business. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Got a light, Jessica?
Nope.
But you're smoking.
I don't need a light. It's a Smoke Genie electronic cigarette.
Really?
You haven't tried them? It's just like the real thing, but better. It's so much cheaper. There's no tar and burning, and you can take just a few puffs and put it right back in your purse. You can even smoke one of these where regular cigarettes are banned.
Seriously? I'm sick of people telling me where I can and can't smoke.
I tell you, it's great. There's a bunch of them out there, but Smoke Genie is way superior in flavor, quality, shipping, and customer service.
I don't know. I've been smoking cigarettes forever. Not sure I could change.
Listen, there's a 30-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. I wish they had Smoke Genie 10 years ago. I would have saved a ton of money. My clothes don't smell like smoke anymore.
Really? That's great.
And Smoke Genie even has next-day delivery. Go to SmokeGenieCigs.com today and use the code RADIO for 10% off your order.
SmokeGenieCigs.com and code RADIO for 10% off? I'm in.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Big Al's here to wrap up the show with a couple of old friends. Marshall Barrel, number one. Marshall is the co-portfolio manager of the Encompass Fund, a fund that is doing very, very well. They invest not exclusively, but to an extent in resource companies, and he and his partner Malcolm Gisson have done a great job. The other fellow I'm talking with is actually the president of one of our sponsor companies, Greg Johnson. Greg is the president of South American Silver. He is the co-founder of a very, very successful company called Nova Gold, which I'm sure you have all heard of. So both of these guys have been around the block a number of times. What we're going to close the show with here is we're going to address some issues that have been brought to my attention of late in terms of investing south of the border. You know, a lot of people are concerned with Mexico. A lot of people are concerned with Chile. A lot of people are concerned with virtually any place south of about San Diego. But, you know, one of the areas of concern right now that I don't think is really warranted happens to be Bolivia. There's a lot of very, very interesting mining situations going on down there. Coeur d'Alene is down there. Pan American Silver is down there. Sumitomo, if I'm not mistaken, is down there, as is South American Silver. Marshall, when you invest in companies, I know that geopolitical concerns are of prime importance to you. I mean, how do you feel about Bolivia? What concerns do you have, and what, if any, I mean, maybe you love it, but what, if any, can we put Greg on the hot seat here and find out exactly what the situation is down there from someone who makes his living from that country?
Well, as you say, Al, we certainly are concerned with the geopolitical situation in any country that we're going to invest in, or any company that's involved with a country around the world. And we at the Encompass Fund do have a number of companies, a lot of them Canadian companies, but they're operating in various countries and areas around the world. With regards to South America, in particular, there's the concern dealing, starting with Chavez in Venezuela, and to what degree there may be fallout from his activities and his attempt to have friendships with other countries or enemies, vis-a-vis Colombia. With regards to Bolivia, there are a lot of resources there. They're advancing them. Various projects, including a silver project that South American Silver is involved with. When we look at a company, We're interested in what is going on, what's likely to go on, and trying to separate the rumors and the sometimes inaccurate information that floats around from what's going on, and do that through research and due diligence and talking to the managements of the companies that are actually involved in a particular area, such as Greg Johnson with South American Silver. In the interest of full disclosure, we've became comfortable enough with Bolivia and with the project of South American Silver that the fund has invested in South American Silver. But I think that the important thing is for people to talk to the managements of the companies that are involved in the various countries and try and make sure they're separating the wheat from the chaff as regards to information that's available.
Greg, we've had lengthy discussions of late since South American Silver became a sponsor on our website, and I want to be real upfront about that, about the situation in Bolivia. Morales is thought by some to be a good guy, a progressive guy. He's thought by others to be, you know, Hugo Chavez's best friend and has every intention in the world of turning Bolivia into another Venezuela, which I firmly am convinced is exactly not the case. You know, one of the rumors that comes out is that a number of people are saying, well, keep one thing in mind about Bolivia. The government owns 50% of your project if you're working down there. Well, I don't believe that's the case. Can you comment on that?
I think both Marshall's comments and your comments are, you know, it's all part of working in the industry that we do. I mean, part of the reality is that, you know, in our business, we have to go where the metal is. And oftentimes that means we're working in, you know, less developed countries, in areas that have maybe been kind of off limits to exploration for some reason or another, maybe lacking logistics, or maybe the political situation was such that it kept investment out. In the case of Bolivia in particular, it's certainly been through its ups and downs. You know, what's surprising to most people who haven't been down there is that, you know, they're actually enjoying the best economy they've had in 30 or 40 years under the Morales administration. There are some areas that the government is definitely more involved, Al. For instance, in the lithium area, you know, Bolivia, some may not know, has the largest reserves of lithium in the world. And the government sees that as a strategic kind of asset. Yeah. And it's been pretty clear in the discussions they've had with South Korea, with Japan, the French and others that have been looking at developing the lithium there, that the government wants to maintain a 50% ownership. When we look at mining in general, though, under current Bolivian law, you can own 100% of a project. There are many projects down there that the government mining company, much like Chile has a government mining company, has an interest in. And, you know, that interest may be 50% or even, you know, more, depending on the structure. Every project is probably different. But, you know, in general, under the current structure, yes, private ownership is there. There haven't been any real issues with private ownership, you know, at this point in the mining business. The government has selectively repurchased back assets that were privatized back in the mid-90s. But those have primarily been in the utility sector, water utilities, energy utilities. And recently the government was on record as saying, and I think it was Dow Jones Newswire, that, you know, that was very select. It was assets that were formerly government-owned, and you know, the purpose there was to put those back in the hands of the people. And, you know, when we look around at the investment that's going on, you know, major investment by companies like Sumitomo, with one of the largest silver mines in the world that was built under the Morales administration, Coeur d'Alene, likewise, built their mine in the last couple of years, Pan American Silver. Now, these are companies that, you know, are very strong in working in small countries, and you know, they appear to be doing, you know, quite well down in Bolivia. And we think, because of the tremendous mineral potential and the fact that our team has been on the ground previously with Chevron Minerals and now with South American Silver for over 15 years, you know, gives us a strong sense of where we are, and that there is really a framework here for us to develop shareholder value and to move forward with a development stage, you know, large silver and indium asset.
Ralph Fitch, who is your predecessor, who is now the honorary chairman of South American Silver, did work down there with Chevron for, not just in Bolivia, but Bolivia, Chile, et cetera, for a long, long time. He was awarded the chairman's award from Chevron for discovering a huge, huge asset in Chile. I mean, it just strikes me that, as an example, that if there were a problem in say, Bolivia, that I don't think Ralph would be in there for a minute, but, you know, Big Al's been wrong before.
Well, I think it just goes to, as we said earlier, anytime you're working in a small country, investors should be aware. In the United States or Canada, your risk in the mining industry is permitting risk. Are you going to be able to actually get your permits to successfully build your mine? And there may be environmental reasons or objections to building a mine. In these smaller countries, it's rarely a permitting risk issue because oftentimes the permitting process is much more straightforward. But, anytime that you're dealing with a smaller country, you don't have necessarily the track record of mining law in terms of history, and you don't necessarily have the security that absolutely there will be no changes forever. And so I think, reality is that as an investor, you do have to be aware, where is my company operating? Does the management team have a track record there? Are there other companies that have had success in that country? And, based on, as I think as Marshall pointed out, speaking with management, what is their plan? How do they plan to mitigate the risks and the various risks? There's three primary risks in the project. There's technical risk, really the biggest being, are you going to be able to define a project that's big enough to matter? Secondly, financing risk. Do you have the ability to raise financing? Are investors willing to invest in your company? Then the third element is permitting risk or political risk. And all three areas, there are ways to mitigate those risks. And hopefully, your management team and your company that you're looking at understands those risks and are looking at ways to be able to mitigate or minimize those risks.
Yep.
Prevent unforeseen impact for shareholders.
Okay, got to wrap this up by saying a couple of things. Number one, I'm comfortable primarily because of the due diligence that Marshall and Malcolm have done, number one. Number two, I want to say in the interest of full disclosure, do not construe this particular conversation as being investment advice because it is not. We're simply discussing the mining situation in Bolivia with someone who happens to be a sponsor of ours and who Marshall happens to, through the Encompass Fund, have a position in. We are not telling you to buy the stock. We're not telling you to sell it. All we're telling you to do here at this point is take a look at the situation down there. Go to other sources before you invest in companies in those areas and draw your own conclusions. Guys, thanks so much. Big Al's going to be back next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.